We are just so grateful that we can gather together like this in such unity, Lord, to exalt and to glorify you. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst this morning. That in all that is said, all that is done, in all that is accomplished, that the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is highly, highly exalted and lifted up in this place. And Father, we give you alone the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Are we ready?
Yes.
I've got a message. I think it's a very important message. In fact, all messages are important. Is that right? Whenever we delve into the Word of God, it's important that we, you know, our ears are open and our hearts are ready to receive what the Lord is saying to us. You know, we are all familiar with natural laws. Is that true? Right? Or maybe we can call them scientific laws. You know, Sir Isaac Newton introduced the law of universal gravitation. Is that true? Okay. And none of us are able to operate in a way that will contradict gravity. You can come out with all your ideas and so on, but ultimately, gravity will have its way. And so many of us are familiar with all these different natural laws out there. But folks, many, many of us have no idea and no concept of the fact that there are spiritual laws out there, right? And these spiritual laws are just as definite. These spiritual laws are just as precise. These spiritual laws are just as certain as natural laws. And that's a fact. That's a fact. They are equally impossible to defy, spiritual laws. Now, you might go out there and you might try to break the law of gravity, but I'm telling you right now that the law of gravity will break you. It'll break you. Huh? But it's exactly the same, and it's true with spiritual laws as well, folks. We need to know them. Now, today I want to speak about a spiritual law that operates throughout the entire earth. It is a law that affects each and every single one of us, and it has a definite bearing on the course that our lives will take. Really, it has an effect on the course that our lives will take. And Jesus himself actually spoke about this particular law three times. We see it in the New Testament. Now, it is a law, it's a spiritual law, relating to the consequences of sin. Sorry, not sin. That must be for somebody here. That is for somebody here. It's the consequences of pride. Now, it's very interesting because pride is bad news. And I want to tell you what, show you what Jesus says about pride. But pride is just the starting point. Pride leads to something. So the title of my message this morning is The Devastating Results of Pride. Now, I want to give you those three verses that Jesus gave to us. And the first one's in Luke 14, verse 11. He says, for everyone who exalts himself, this is a person that is full of pride. Eh? Am I right? You want to exalt yourself. You are the main player. He says, will be humbled. Now, the word doesn't say maybe will be humbled or sometimes humbled. The word says, will be humbled. And then he goes on to say, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I touched on that last week. Remember I said that we need to be those who humble ourselves. Don't ask God to humble you. Don't ask God to humble you. We need to humble ourselves. In fact, the word says if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. Is that right? Another verse, also Jesus speaking. Now, this is in Luke 18, verse 14. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And then Jesus says, for everyone who exalts himself will be, not might be, will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. He said it again. And then he says it again. We see it in Matthew 23:12. Jesus speaking, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, folks, let me say this. First of all, we need to be aware of what Jesus is saying. And I believe that if Jesus is telling us something, not once, not twice, but three times, maybe we should listen. Amen. But equally, you know, the converse is wonderful. The converse of those three verses, it's, you know, the truth that whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So we need to be those that are mindful of the thing of pride, because, man, pride pops up. I don't know if you've noticed. You can be fine. And then suddenly, you know, it pops up. And we need to not only know that it's there, but folks, we need to deal with it. Because you don't want pride to get a foothold into your life. So there are a number of passages in the Word of God that says exactly the same thing. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before? Okay, well, pride goes before destruction, the Word says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, people do say that pride goes before a fall, and in fact, it's true in principle. It is true in principle, but it's not what the Word says, all right? Because it says pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit, which is also pride, before a fall. So as believers in the Lord Jesus, folks, we don't want to see any form of destruction or devastation in our own lives. Is that true? We don't want to see that. So let's make sure that we deal with this thing, okay, whenever it pops up in our lives. And it does pop up, all right? If you tell me it doesn't pop up, I'll say to you, you know what, you are so full of pride. Huh? You're full of pride because, yeah, it does pop up. You can't tell me that this thing doesn't happen to you. Folks, Proverbs also says, before destruction, now get the picture, what is destruction? Huh? You know what it means. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty. That's also pride, eh? But humility comes before honor. So where there is humility, we will receive honor. And you know where we receive it? We receive it from God, and we receive it from people when we are humble and our walk is a walk of humility. The downfall of every living creature is as a result of pride, because this is what the Word tells us. But the thing is, folks, it starts off with pride. You know, that is a starting point. It says it starts off with pride, and then it leads into other things. And if that pride is not dealt with, it leads into other things. And that's what I want to speak about here this morning. So I don't believe that the downfall of people is caused by anything else. Why? Because we see this in the Word. You know, the first sin in the universe, I'm not saying on earth, the first sin in the universe was not drunkenness. The first sin in the universe was not immorality. The first sin in the universe wasn't adultery or fornication. The first sin in the universe wasn't murder. The first sin in the universe was pride. Pride. And many people may be horrified by, you know, murder and immorality and, you know, drunkenness and all of these things. And yet pride, folks, on the other hand, is not even seen as a sin. Think about it. It's not even seen as a sin. And that's why I want to spend some time speaking about this morning. Why pride is so devastating is that it does lead to something if it's not dealt with. And it leads to rebellion. Rebellion. Now, you can see in the Word of God, the Bible says rebellion is as a spirit of witchcraft. So from pride not dealt with, goes into rebellion, and the Word says that rebellion is as a spirit of witchcraft. So the inner condition, you know, of pride ultimately is expressed in an outer action, if not dealt with, as some form of rebellion. Now, The first sin that took place, it wasn't on earth. It was in heaven, yeah. It was in heaven. And it was not committed by a human being. It was committed by an angel. And also, not just an ordinary angel. It wasn't just an ordinary angel. It was an archangel or a chief angel that committed the first sin. And his name is Lucifer. Lucifer. And the root of Lucifer's pride, the Bible tells us, was beauty, his beauty, and his wisdom. And this beauty and this wisdom had been given to him by the Creator. Folks, we need to know, you know, so often people think of God and Satan. You know, God, of course, we know God is good, but Satan's out there and he's got all this power and whatever. We need to remind ourselves of the fact that Satan, who was Lucifer, who became Satan, is a created being. And who created him? God. God created Lucifer. God created Satan. And originally, all these demons that are giving us hassles here on planet Earth were angels that were in heaven that were cast out. We're going to have a look at that this morning. So let's just be mindful of the fact that this beautiful archangel Lucifer, that pride was found in him and he was kicked out of heaven and he became Satan, that he was a created being. Very important that we remind ourselves of that. So this pride ultimately led to rebellion. And we see in Ezekiel 28, okay, Ezekiel the prophet, he speaks, this is so interesting, man. He speaks about two different individuals relating to the city of Tyre. So Tyre was a city. So the first individual is called the prince of Tyre. Now, the prince of Tyre, that's the first one. The second one that Ezekiel speaks about is the king of Tyre. So you've got a prince and you've got the king of Tyre. The first, which was a prince, was a human. The second, who is the king, is not a human. Let's pick it up in Ezekiel 28, verse 2. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre. Now, this is Ezekiel the prophet being told what to say to the prince of Tyre, who is a person. Okay? Thus says the Lord. So Ezekiel is speaking to the leader of Tyre. He says, thus says the Lord, because your heart is proud, and you have said, how's this for arrogance? You have said, I am a god. Huh? Folks, even today people think that they are super important, you know, that they're above everybody else. So this dude thinks he's a god. You have said, I am a god. I sit on the seat of gods in the heart of the seas. Yet you are but a man and no god. Though you make your heart like the heart of a god. So this is what he's, you know, thinks he's God. He's a God. Now it's interesting because in verse 9 it says, Will you still say, I'm a God in the presence of those who kill you? Though you are but a man and no God in the hands of those who slay you. Man, can you imagine? You know, I'm a God, I'm so important, da, 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 da. When you've got a group of people around you that are going to take you out, are you going to still tell them that you're a God? This is what he's saying. So here is a person who is a man, but he claims to be God, a God. How's that for haughtiness? How's that for pride? How's that for arrogance? So this guy, he is the prince, he is the ruler of Tyre. And the prince, do you know that the prince gets his instruction from the king? Is that true? The prince will get his instruction, the prince of Tyre will get his instruction from the king of Tyre. And so now let's have a look at the king of Tyre, who is not a human. And folks, this portion of scripture gives us a lot of insight into what is happening in the spiritual realm. That, you know, there are places where you have leaders. I mean, it's a man leading, and yet the man has been controlled by something that's happening in the spiritual realm. So it gives us a lot of insight here. Listen to what it says now. This is Ezekiel 28, verse 11. So, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel. Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. So this is now Ezekiel the prophet who's been told by God what to say to the king of Tyre. And he tells him what to speak about, and it's about things that have happened in the past. He says, you were the signet of perfection. Who's he speaking about? Lucifer. You, Lucifer, were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. There it is again. The wisdom, the beauty, right? So here he's talking about Lucifer, the archangel, who ultimately became Satan. He goes on in verse 13, he says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. See this beautiful angelic being covered by these beautiful stones, sardius, topaz, diamonds. So he's covered in diamonds and beryl and onyx and jasper and sapphire, it says, emerald and carbuncle. And crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. Then he says, listen to this now. Now he's talking to the king, who is? Lucifer, right. On the day you were created being. God created him. On the day you were created, they were prepared. So this shows how incredibly beautiful Lucifer, how beautiful God created Lucifer, this archangel. He goes on to say, you were an anointed guardian cherub, a cherub angel, right? I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless, Lucifer. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. He tells us again, he's created, right? Till unrighteousness was found in you. Something happened to Lucifer the archangel. And it says, unrighteousness was found in you. Now, you know, what is this unrighteousness? Let's carry on. Verse 16. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence. Now, imagine, okay? So it started off with pride. We'll look at that. And, you know, gets into rebellion. And in all of this, there is violence. You were filled with violence in your midst. And you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So we know what happened. He was kicked out of heaven. Kicked out of heaven like a lightning bolt. Verse 17 tells us something. It says, your heart was proud because of your beauty. And you corrupted your wisdom. There it is again, the beauty and the wisdom. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you. So there it is. This is what happened. This is the problem right in the beginning that we're still dealing with today. Folks, verse 12 says that this creature excelled in wisdom and beauty. Verse 13 says that this creature was in the Garden of Eden. Verse 14 says that this creature was an anointed cherub, angel. Verse 15 says that this creature was created. Okay, not a man, but a cherub. Verse 16, now this is interesting. It says, in the abundance of your trade. So trade actually means, if you look at the root of that, it means to travel about. Okay, travel about. It comes from the same root word as tale-bearing and slander, as we see in Leviticus 19, verse 16. You can go and check that out. It says, you were filled with violence in the midst of in your midst, and you sinned. And then we see in verse 17, the next verse, it identifies the root of the problem. Your heart was proud. There it goes. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom. So this beauty and wisdom was corrupted because of this pride. For the sake of your splendor, I cast you to the ground. When you was kicked out, right? Now, folks, it's the same for us as it was for Satan or Lucifer, all right? You're still Lucifer at that point. It starts off with pride, but things, unfortunately, if pride is not dealt with, it carries on. Pride then leads to something that we saw here, which is rebellion, and it's rebellion against God. And this rebellion leads to going around as a talebearer, spreading slander and untrue reports. This is all linked into what started off as pride. Verse 16, in the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence. Violence in there as well, in your midst, within. This means by going about as a slanderer, okay, and a talebearer, spreading false reports, Lucifer promoted a rebellion. He promoted a rebellion that took place. And remember, the root cause of this thing was pride, right? Okay, so first of all, we know that here now on planet Earth, we know who Satan is. The word is very clear. He is a liar. Don't listen, don't believe anything, he says. And not only is he a liar, the word says that he is the father of lies. And he wants you and he wants me to fall in exactly the same way as he fell. That's what he wants for us. And it's because of his rebellion that he was actually cast out of the presence of God. And you can get the picture, because we know here that Lucifer, the Bible doesn't tell us whether he addressed all the angels or whether he addressed just a third of the angels when he was in heaven. But the Bible does tell us that it was a third of the angels that were in heaven that actually backed him. And this is probably Lucifer having a chat to the angels. And he probably says something like this. You know, you angels. Yeah, you know, you angels. I want you to understand that the Lord, the creator of all things, doesn't appreciate you. God doesn't appreciate you, right? You are worth so much more. You are worth a lot. So much more than God actually gives you credit for. You are capable. You are so capable. You are capable of doing so much more than you are doing right now. I mean, this is probably how the conversation went. Okay. Now, if you were to follow me, I would make sure that each and every single one of you reach your full potential. Right? You'll reach your full potential. What about all of us getting together and starting our own kingdom? How's about that? All right? And I believe, really, that I would make as good a God as the God of the universe. How's about that, you angels? Right? What do you think? Folks, a third of the angelic beings said, let's do it. Let's do it. We're with you. We're with you. And the amazing thing that this all happened in the full light of heaven's glory in a perfect universe that had never, ever been marred by sin in any form or any way. And folks, we need to know that the tactics that Lucifer used all those years again, they succeeded. They succeeded big time, that he was able to convince a third of the angels. They succeeded in heaven. So how much more do you think they will succeed here on planet Earth? In fact, they have proved to be working efficiently for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And we need to understand how he actually operates, because he still operates in exactly the same way as he was operating then. He is operating here now on planet Earth. In the book of Revelation, John tells us in chapter 12, verse 4, he says, his tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven, a third, 33 1/3% of the angels, and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he may devour it. So his pride sparked a rebellion in heaven. And as a result of his pride, 1/3 of the created beings, created angels, right, turned against their creator. Turned against their creator. No longer desiring the God of the universe. Rather, leaving God out of everything. And this is the problem we have right now. And when Lucifer fell, and he did fall, he fell and he fell hard, it impacted big time on a third of the angels, didn't it? The ones that he convinced them. And folks, you know, it's a sobering thought for any of us that might be, you know, any position of authority. And we all are in position of authority. You know, no matter how big or how small, what authority you have over other people. But we need to remind ourselves, and we need to remind ourselves continually, the effects of disobedience or disloyalty can have a serious impact on those people that we lead or those people under us. And those that are under authority, and most of us, you know, we know what the Bible says, we're all under kind of levels of authority. Those under authority should actually examine the authority that they are following, especially when it comes to spiritual authority. Especially. We see what is happening on the planet right now, where you have churches where thousands upon thousands of people are attending, and they're not even glorifying Jesus. Right? It's just a big party. Let's just pull together and, you know, sing songs. I don't know what it is. Folks, we have to be very, very mindful of the authority, especially the spiritual authority that we are following. In Isaiah 14:12, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven! How you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn! How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low." And prophecy in Scripture reveals not only, you know, the outward acts, but the inner motivation as well. The inner motivation. Because in Isaiah, we see the motivation that actually caused Lucifer to fall, to rebel. And it was? Pride. Pride. There it is. You know, when I read this, I'm just amazed that God knew everything. God knew what Lucifer was thinking. God knew what Lucifer was actually saying. God knew what was actually in his heart. And he still let him get away with it for a while. And some of us are in that place, getting away with it for a while. We need to think, folks, about this thing that God is not pleased with. I want to say that God knows exactly what you and I are doing, what we are thinking. It says he knows us. He knows he created us. David shared this earlier on. He even knows the number of hairs on our head. And he knows our thoughts and the words that we say before they even come out of our mouths. This is what the Word of God tells us. He knows. He also knows the motives of our heart. And folks, even if God, like with Lucifer, you know, lets us get away with things, it might be for a month or two or six, maybe it's even a year or two, one day we will know that God knew all about that thing. So let's rather address it and make sure that we are not hanging on to stuff that is going to actually bring us down. Now, it's interesting because in Isaiah, listen, this is just, you know, The thing of pride, listen to this. This is Isaiah now 14, verse 13. It says, you said in your heart, God speaking to Lucifer, you said in your heart, so he hadn't even spoken and God knew what was in his heart. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Okay? Two words we see in this portion of Scripture. We see it five times in this passage. Okay, and these are the motivating words of all actions. I will. Folks, with us, let it not be I will, but let it be thy will in our lives. Amen? It's about him. It's about the king. It's about his kingdom. The root problem in the universe is the will of the created that is in opposition to the Creator. That's the problem. That's the problem in the universe, and that's a problem on planet Earth, where the will of the created is in opposition to the Creator. I will ascend to heaven, he said. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And folks, Satan's intentions has always been to make himself equal to the Most High. Right? And the result of this was his fall. Let us not be those who fall in any area of our lives because of the root, which is pride. Pride. Isn't it amazing that one small thing that is not even seen as a problem with, you know, mankind, this thing of pride, and yet it was absolute, it caused absolute devastation in the heavenlies. And we don't even see it as an issue. Remember Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And Satan does not want us to be obedient to God. That's the thing. He doesn't want us to be obedient to God. He does everything in his power to blind us and to blind people here on planet Earth from the truth of the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he does it with all types of things. He does it with money. He gets us looking in the wrong directions. He's gone out there and he's created a whole bunch of religions that people run after. This is all a decoy. This is all to get people to take their eyes off the King. He does not want people to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about. The big picture, if you had to have him right here, he does not want anybody to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And he will do whatever he can to make sure that people are stopped from receiving Jesus. That's what he will do. And the way that he tries to get back at God, because he's angry, am I right? And we've seen in these, you know, the Bible speaks about it, as we go into the end times, it's going to be a lot more active, all right? Because he knows his time is coming. But the way that he tries to hurt God is to attack God's children, those people God has created, those people that where God sent his only begotten son to die for, to keep people away from the truth of the gospel, to get them busy with all types of things instead of his things, right? Stop them, to do whatever he can do to stop them from having a deep relationship with their Creator. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. The principle, it's a principle, never fails, right? Folks, let us be a people who choose to exalt God, right? That God in our lives is in his rightful place. That we're in a place where we humble ourselves. As he says, humble yourself and he will exalt us. Humble ourselves. Don't allow the evil one to come in and get a foothold into our lives through this thing of pride, because I've said this many times, whenever he gets a foothold in, he will do his utmost to convert that foothold into a stronghold. So pride will open the door to the next thing. Was slander we sought. It was slander, it was rebellion, it's a sin of witchcraft, it was violence. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on. And I just want to repeat the words of Jesus as I close. Whoever, Matthew 23:12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. Amen. Folks, we need to...